Let me ask you something. Could God ever done any more for me and you than what He's done? I appreciate the Lord tonight. Preach, Brother Robert.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. It's my honor to be here, and I mean that with all of my heart. It's an honor to get to preach for people that you really admire in the Lord. And I really look up to Brother Ken. And I thank God that He put people in my life. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up around none of this. I didn't understand none of it. Didn't none of it make no sense to me. But along the way, along the years, God has put people in my life. And that's been a prayer. And I happened on that prayer accidentally, I guess. I wasn't even smart enough to pray it. But I pray God put people around me that's going to keep me from messing everything up. I mean that. And Brother Ken, I appreciate your friendship. And I appreciate the privilege to be here. And the truth be told, I just soon sit down to so many great preachers in the house tonight. I feel like I'm shooting a Daisy Red Rider around a bunch of Civil War cannons here. And amen. I just as soon sit down and hear one of these men preach. But I appreciate what the Lord has done. I want you to stand if you will. And I appreciate my wife. She can't miss Christie's back here. Wave at us, hiding back there. I do appreciate her coming with me tonight. Brother Ken, I'll say this before I go on. Was at church last night, and God blew through there, and I exhorted them, and I got to tell the truth to them about home. I said, it blows my mind. I said, you can go home and fight and war. And I said, me and my wife like each other. I don't understand it. My kids like me. We sit on the floor and play and make fun of people. And she really likes it when I come home. And I really like it when she's home. I don't understand all this. You ain't got to live that way. The Holy Ghost give you a home if you'll let Him, I promise you. Would you turn your Bible to Luke chapter number 4, please? Luke chapter number 4. And I told the preacher, I'm not going to be long. I've got something on my heart. And I know it's camp meeting week. But I've only got one thing on my heart. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord's laid on it. And I pray that it'll be a help to us. If I know anything, I know that God's people need help. Somebody's lied to you if you think you run down there and ask Jesus to save you and you go back home and that ain't nothing but peaches and whipped cream. Somebody's told you a story. That's just the beginning of the battle, and it is a battle. Amen. You have an enemy, and his name is Satan. He don't like you, but we don't like him. But we're in a warfare tonight. But I'd like to announce, just go ahead and tell you, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world, and greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We already have won. Amen. Luke chapter number 4. And verse number 1, I appreciate the Dixons. Appreciate them singing. They're always a blessing. And I love to hear them sing. I like to hear people do it that know something they're talking about. And you know God's testifying. The Holy Ghost will tell you who's doing it right. Amen. And Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. And Jesus. Well, we could stop right there and just fall out on the floor and pray for an hour and a half. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. Do you know in your King James Bible, there's only 3 men mentioned that were full of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't but 3. The Lord Jesus, Barnabas, and Stephen. So only 3 men that were full of, you'd think there'd be 1,000. 3. Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let me break that down for you since the King James Bible is so hard to understand. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'm having a bad day. Where's God? He's leading you. Right through the middle of your bad day. He's being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That's an interesting verse. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of a temple. Said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he's not going nowhere till he's done. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Our Heavenly Father tonight, God, I do stand inadequate, Lord. I sure enough would love to hear one of these choice men of God preach tonight. But Lord, I believe you gave us what to say. And God, I pray that by your grace and by your will and by your power, God, that you'd help me to say, Lord, what needs to be said. I pray that you put a guard on my heart and on my mouth and keep me from saying anything foolish, Lord, anything that's not exactly what you'd say if you were standing here. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. And God, I do pray when we leave, God, when we leave tonight, I pray that you'd set somebody free in this area called temptation. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. And I pray that you'd deliver some dear saint of God living their life in torment tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for standing. I believe we wouldn't have to put a committee together and vote on it tonight. I believe the subject of the text that I just read is temptation. If I had to find one word that would describe what's going on here, I do believe that it would be temptation. I want to say something about temptation. Saved people are the people who are tempted. When you are lost, there was no temptation to sin. It was a natural movement and a natural occurrence in our life. So let me just say this tonight. I'm talking to saved people that's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They sang that song a while ago. The wrath of God was satisfied. I sure am glad that God saw fit to pour His wrath out on the Son of God at Calvary. I should have all of it 1,000 times over poured on my life as wicked as I was, as wicked as my own heart still is. I don't deserve none of God's goodness, but I want to thank God for Calvary tonight. Well, thank God that He saved us and washed us in His own blood. Unto Him that loved us and washed us in His own blood is what the writer of Revelation said. Appreciate being saved tonight. And I'll say this, as long as I'm saved, there's probably some things I really don't mind going through that are uncomfortable, because it ain't gonna be long. And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are you saying? Hey, it ain't going to be long, and all this trouble is going to be a memory in our past. But we're here now. We're here now. And there is a doctrine and there is a truth in your Bible, and that truth is temptation.
Yes, sir.
Temptation. Let me say this before I go any further. Temptation is when, and the Bible describes it to us, but temptation is any time that we're drawn away from God's perfect will for our life. into something that's not God's perfect will for our life. And you say temptation, and I preach, we've got several homes that come to our church, and half our church would be full of alcoholics and drug addicts on any given Sunday morning. And so you say temptation, and the first thing people think is a needle sticking out of their arm or a beer can or whatever. But my Bible said whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You may be tempted by a liquor bottle. You may be tempted to lie. You may be tempted to steal. But you may be tempted to stay complacent. You may be tempted not to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be tempted not to give by faith. Just like Brother Jairus was saying. He said, hey, everything was going fine. Wasn't nothing wrong. Wasn't anything wrong. But I wasn't moving forward. You may be tempted just to be still tonight in a safe place or a comfortable place. Because the last time I tried going for God, living by faith wide open, it ended up hurting me so bad I was scared to do it again. I've got news for you. God's God enough to deliver you then. God will be God enough to deliver you next time. Just live on by faith and believe God. God tonight. Just trust Him and believe Him. He's trustworthy. But I want to talk to you on this subject tonight on temptation. Number one, I want you to see the surety of temptation. The surety of temptation. You say, well, preacher, I'm not really ever tempted. Everything's going pretty good in my life. Well, you was tempted to lie when you told that one. Because James chapter number one says, He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he goes over and he says this, let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. But every man is tempted. All the women just said, yeah, we know. No, that's not talking about the male gender. That's talking about humankind. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Satan wants to tempt you to kill you. The surety of temptation. I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes. I don't care if you've been saved 5 years. I don't care if you've been saved 75 years. Temptation is a reality in every Christian's life sitting in this pew. Amen. We were in Bible college, and there was an older preacher there, and we were doing a question and answer years ago. And a man asked the older preacher, he said, preacher, he's in his 70s. He said, how old were you when lust was no longer a temptation in your life? He said, somewhere past 75, son.
Amen. Right.
Temptation is going to be a part of your life. And did you know if you're not careful, if you don't understand temptation, the devil will tempt you, grieve you over that temptation, and then condemn you, and you ain't even sinned yet. Temptation is not sin. The devil will throw a temptation at you, your heart will be grieved, the Holy Ghost will say no, sir, and then the devil will say, what are you doing thinking like that? And you ain't even took the bait. You ain't even sinned. And then all day long the devil beat you up for being tempted. But I got news for you. Temptation is not sin. If temptation was sin, then Jesus is a sinner. But Jesus is not a sinner. My Lord could not sin. My Lord did not sin. It's impossible. He's God Almighty in human flesh. He couldn't have sinned, but He was tempted of the devil. Does the devil ever do that to you? Throw a temptation at you. And then you refuse it in the Holy Ghost. And then the devil says, what's wrong with you? The devil's a liar. I hate him. I'm tired of him. I can't wait to see God throw him down in that pit. I'm going to be standing there saying, hallelujah! Goodbye, sucker. I'm tired of you. I can't wait for that day.
He's given, oh, He's been giving us all we can handle, preacher. Oh, my God. My family, my brother, we've been to all children that you just want to take all of them home and help them. Oh, I hate the devil. I mean, I hate him. Temptation is a reality in everybody's life. You're going to be tempted. The surety of temptation. It's going to happen. But Ken, I got some real religious people in our church. This kind of preaching right here, they'll turn their nose up and fold their arms and look. Wonder what's wrong with our pastor. I got over that a long time ago. And you know what? I love them enough to keep preaching it to them. Temptation. Temptation. The surety of temptation. You're going to be tempted. If the devil was bold enough to go to the Son of God, man, you're scared to pray to Him sometimes. But the devil went to God in human flesh and tried to get God to sin. You are right here tonight, you think something's wrong with you. God saved you and delivered you from some things, and them things still wink at you and holler at you and draw you and try to get your attention. And you say, what's wrong with me? I'm losing my mind. Hey, you are normal. Temptation is not sin. The surety of temptation. Number two. I'm trying to understand my temptation, Brother Ken. Number two, look at the sequence of temptation. By the way, how he tempted Jesus, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The same way he tempts all of us. The same three ways. Look at the sequence of temptation. If we'll back up in our Bible, we'll find out that Jesus just had left Jordan. He'd come out and John Baptist seen Him coming. And he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He come by the next day and John said it again, behold the Lamb of God. And he walked up to the river where John was baptizing. And Jesus said, John, I want you to take me and baptize. Can you imagine Jesus asking you to baptize Him? John said probably what we'd have said, oh, I have need to be baptized of thee. Has God ever asked you something so awesome you're scared to do it? What a God. He said, no, I need to be baptized of you. And John took him down in the river and he baptized Jesus. He stood up and finally that dove that Noah let loose over there in the book of Genesis found somewhere a land, and the Holy Ghost descended from heaven and lit on the Son of God, and a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now watch what the devil did to him. The sequence of your temptation, it comes upon a definite anointing. Yes, sir. I'm talking about the kind of temptation where the devil hunts you down and you think you're going to die. It happens. It comes upon a definite anointing. Here's what I'm trying to say is when Satan recognized the power of God on Jesus. He recognized something is going on around here. It's been dead for about 400 years, but something is a brewing in the family of God. God is about to do something that He does, and I've recognized His moving before. And the devil recognized that anointing on the Lord Jesus, and immediately he goes to Him and tries to tempt Him to ruin that anointing. It comes upon a definite anointing. How many of you this week, somewhere in this altar, have fell down and said, God, just take me and use me. Whatever it is, just take me and use me. Anybody prayed anything like that this week? Can I tell you who else heard? The enemy heard. You ever notice when you get... You ever notice when you get right with God? I mean, you really get right with Him. And it ain't the kind where you run around telling everybody you got right with God. It's where you and God get alone and you get up and you know you done got right with God. I got some professional repenters at church too. Professional repenters. No, I'm talking about when you get alone with God and you know and God knows that you're right and you've done surrendered your heart to Him. And then your life falls apart into about 1,000 pieces. You know why? Because that temptation, that trouble comes on a definite anointing. When the devil sees you anointed, he's coming after you. Tell you what else it comes on. Temptation comes on a declared approval. What did Satan say to Jesus every single time? If thou be the Son of God. Where did he hear that? You got to back up to chapter 3. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Satanic temptation comes upon a declared approval. What are you saying? Well, let me break it down for you. The only thing the devil can say negative about you is what he's heard God say positive about you. This is my beloved Son, if you're really the Son of God. How many of you this week, Satan's told you, you ain't even saved. You don't know why he said that? Because he heard God say, look at my saved youngins down there. You ever notice that? You never wondered if you was really saved until you got saved. I never doubted my call to preach until after I surrendered to preach. Yeah. You ain't called to preach. Where'd that come from? You ain't a Christian. You ain't saved. Where'd that come from? He can only accuse. You're a terrible wife.
Oh, yes.
You trying and you working in that home trying to please your husband. You're an awful wife. If you was a real wife, he'd be happy with you. You know, the only reason the devil will say that to you is because God's done said, look at her doing everything right. No matter what that scoundrel does, she's right. Yeah. Satan can only say about you negative what he's heard God say about you positive. Satanic temptation comes upon a declared approval. He's not original. He's not smart enough to think of nothing on his own. He's not smart enough to come up with none of that. And the only thing he can do, because if you ever get a hold of what God really says about you, you're going to be hard to handle. We got folks running around working on their feelings. Got folks running around working on their emotions. Got folks running around working on how good they feel or what everybody thinks about them. And did I do a good enough job? And how many likes did I get? Why don't you go up, get you a Bible, and find not what God really said about you. You won't be tossed to and fro like a wave in the ocean. You can get assurance out of your Bible. Find out God said, you're my youngin' and I love you and you're the righteousness of God and I'm going to help you and I'm going to aid you. Find out what God said and quit being so fickle about what everybody else thinks. You ever get a hold of what God says about you, you're going to be trouble. Did it occur to you how saved you are? I said, how saved you are? God ain't got but one righteousness to hand out. I wouldn't believe it if I didn't know it to be true, and it just sounds bad to say it, but it sounds arrogant, but... I'm as right with God as God is with Himself. Because all of my righteousness is His righteousness. It's not a little souped up righteousness He found somewhere to give me to get me by. He gave me His righteousness. And He's got plenty to hand out
And He ain't a lacking when He gives none. Don't make Him no less righteous. Amen. His storehouse is full. Hallelujah to God. It comes upon a declaration of approval. It comes on a door of advancement. Jesus is about to go into ministry and He's about to start saving folks, healing folks, raising dead folks. And the devil says, if this fella who says he's the Son of God ever gets loose around here, I got all these demon-possessed people going to hell, I'm in trouble. And he'll try to clip you out before you get started. I don't know how many times I've seen it in our church. Somebody will get right with God, surrender, and they'll jump up and they'll want to sing in the choir or work on a care team or do something at the church. And it ain't a minute and a half somebody done hurt their feelings. Well, if that's how it's going to be, I just won't sing. If that's how it's going to be, I'll just sit at the back and fold my arms. If that's how it's, and here's the, I'm not even faulting them. They've not grown enough to know that that is the way it's going to be. If Jesus was attacked, you're going to get attacked. If the Apostle Paul was attacked, you're going to be attacked. But I'm not serving God because of somebody liking me or not liking me. I'm serving God because I was on a barstool on my way to hell and the Holy Ghost came by, pulled me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, established my going. He has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise, many shall see it in fear and trust the Lord. You're looking at one old boy tonight who's in because God put me in. I want mama called and daddy said, the Lord came by and rescued me. I ain't boasting, preacher. I ain't boasting. You're going to have a hard time hurting my feelings bad enough to get me to quit this. I expect it. I'm kind of worried when it don't happen. I don't know if this is how it's going to be. I just don't know if I can handle it. Well, what's fair? Where should you be tonight? You serving God with 1,000 people shooting arrows at you, you're better off than you was before Jesus found you. I don't even know why I'm just drawn to this thought tonight, preacher, and I can't get away from it. Quit worrying about what everybody thinks about you. Can I say something, and I hope you don't take it wrong? Brother, I don't even like me about 90% of the time. I know how they feel. Brother Rollins, I get up about every other day and look at myself and I'm like, what's wrong with you? God just ought to kill you today before you get started. That's how I feel about me. But that ain't how He feels about me. He loves me with an unchangeable love. And He don't love me because how good I perform. He don't love me because of whether I preach good or not. He don't love me because how good I sing or don't sing. He don't love me because how much I give or don't give. He don't love me for any of that. He loves me for Jesus' sake. And He looks at me as He looks at His Son. And I'm covered in His righteousness. And I'm just real glad about it tonight. But temptation will come on a door of advancement to try to snuff out what God wants to do in your life before you get started. No telling what God would do in your life if you'd quit listening to every voice around you and just obey God. You ain't even got to be mean. You ain't even got to be a jerk. You're not doing that right. I'm so sorry. Would you please write it down and show me exactly how you'd like me to do that next time, please? Well, it's just a little. I mean, well, it'll probably work. They just want to fuss. Why don't you yield? Why don't you humble yourself? Why do you have to be right? Only by pride cometh contention. Just be wrong. Well, but I'm right. Who knows you're right?
you and God, so be wrong with everybody else. Let God be true and every man a liar. This ain't a performance competition. This ain't a contest. We're just serving Jesus. And if somebody ain't going to like it because the devil's scared of how far you're going to go with this thing. And if I can send somebody to knock you off the tracks before you get to rolling real good, I will. Well, y'all be careful with young Christians. Don't they know? No, they don't. They sure don't remember you when you got saved. Come on, a door of advancement. But Ken, I surrendered to preach. My mama told me I was going to make a fool out of me and everybody around us. I got 100 stories I can tell you. But I'm telling you, I was so dumb I didn't know to quit. I'm serious. I was so dumb, I was just like, well, amen. And here's where I always went back to. I ain't drunk today. I think I'm just going to go with God. Still sober. Think I'm just going to go home. That's a God's truth. I said, no, nothing else. I was supposed to go to hell. I was just a miserable, just a lousy soul when he came by and saved me. I really ain't even paying attention to nobody around me, to be honest with you. Sequence of temptation. Have you found when you try to sell out to God, that's when it really gets hard? That's normal. Number three, look at the substance of his temptation. He'll address your lack. In verse 3, the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. Get you something to eat if you're God. God don't love you anymore. If God loves you, you wouldn't be doing without this thing that you need right now. And then the devil will try to, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. After he talked about that temptation, he said, do not err. Don't swerve off the path. Don't go get something you think you need in a way that God has not planned for you to get it. If you don't have it, this is deep theology. You don't need it. If you've asked God and your heart's right with God and you don't see it today, you don't need it today. You can keep asking Him till you see it. Nothing wrong with it, but don't go get it on your own. Satan's trying to get you to go get what you think you need on your own without God. But if God gives it to you, it'll be right and it'll be perfect. And you won't have to pay taxes on it and fix it every 3 weeks. That's why everybody's in debt and can't get out of water. Satan said, God don't love you because you ain't got a car like they got. God don't love you because you don't live in a house like they live in. Can I say something to you? Preacher, I feel like I'm at home. I don't even know why, but... Let me let you in on a little secret. Everybody goes home sometime. And it probably ain't as rosy as you think it is. He'll address your lack. He'll address your loyalty. Verse 4, Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Then the devil showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. The devil said, all this power I'll give you and the glory of them. For it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He'll address your loyalty. You know what Satan was trying to do? Satan was trying to give Jesus the world without a cross. He said, everything you're going to have in the millennial reign, I'll give it to you now if you don't go to Calvary. Well, aren't you glad Jesus is loyal to us and not the stuff? And do you know that's what the devil will do to you? He's saying, I'll get you ahead and I'll make it not hurt if you'll go my way. He'll promise you the world without a cross. I think I'll just go with God. Jesus said, except you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Got to die with him. He'll address you love. God don't love you. I'm going to say that. I'm about done, preacher. Do you know that, and I'm sure you do know this, did you know that every answer that Jesus gave, I'm talking about the stifling of temptation now. What do I do when temptation bombards me to the point that I think I'm going to lose my mind? Do you realize that every one of Jesus' answers was out of Deuteronomy 6 and 8? I can't prove this, and so I'm going to speculate, but here's what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart when I discovered this. Do you know how He was able to fight the devil through that satanic temptation? That Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8 was His morning devotion. He had a daily walk with His Heavenly Father. Does that not blow you away that every answer He gave was out of two chapters of the Bible? Deuteronomy 6 and 8. He wrote the Bible. He is the Bible. He knows all of it. And the only answers He gave was out of three different chapters that was right side beside each other. Jesus defeated the devil as a spirit-filled man in His man to show us how to deal with the devil in our spirit-filled man. He could have just snapped His fingers and turned Him into smoke. But He took the Word of God to show me and you that if we have a daily walk with Jesus, we can deal with satanic temptation. The stifling of temptation. Well, I've got news for you. You're always going to deal with the devil. You're always going to deal with temptation. But you do not have to let temptation wipe you out. Understand that God allows it to grow you and teach you patience. And by the way, understand that the devil is a defeated foe. Over in Isaiah, he's called Lucifer. And I just heard this the other day, and I'm going to share it with you. You probably already know this. It's a Latin word in that Hebrew Old Testament. And the guys listening to it, he said, why would those Hebrew people put a Latin word in their Hebrew Old Testament? And he said they were trying to explain something, that Lucifer means son of the morning. He said, and it's so close to morning star. He said that they wanted to use that Latin word to make a differentiation. In other words, there's a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit. And it was in Latin. And there's three main words that the Bible uses for Satan. Lucifer, which is that Latin word. Satan, which is the Hebrew word. And the devil, which is Diablo, Greek word. For that, three main words in our Bible, in our King James Bible, that's used for the enemy. Lucifer, Satan, and the devil. Well, I found out on Calvary. They put a sign up over the head of Jesus. This is the King of the Jews. So there's a counterfeit roaming around here, but we want you to know that this is the King of the Jews. And it was written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. We are dealing with a defeated foe. If we'll have a daily... You ain't got to read 100 chapters a day. If you'll take you 3 chapters a day and walk with your Savior to Calvary every morning, I believe that you can withstand the temptation that Satan throws at your life without buying 14 tapes off of TBN. You don't need no miracle healing oil, and you don't need no prayer cloth from Rod Parsley. Get your Bible and walk with your Savior. And there's nothing that you cannot overcome in Jesus' name. Father, thank You tonight for teaching us about this area of temptation. God, there ain't no doubt in my mind, everybody here goes through it. Everybody here fights temptation. Everybody here fights satanic attack. And God, if we're not careful, we'll curl up in a corner and get bitter about it and get mad because our life's terrible. But Lord, tonight, teach us not to do that. Teach us to find out what's really going on. He's lying to us about what You've really said about us. And get us in our Bible and find out who You are and what You think about us and how much You care.
And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Preacher.